The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. Hello there. This is Fred Brack reading for the North Carolina Reading Service. And for the next half hour, I'll be reading to you from Our State magazine. Today's reading of Our State is underwritten by the Carter Glass Insurance Agency, serving the community since 1974 and underwriting our podcast for over 15 years. They can be reached at 919-781-1973. And now it's time to break open a brand new copy of Our State magazine celebrating North Carolina. This one for June 2022. This is the issue I personally love to read. It is the annual coastal issue entitled Boat Towns. And the towns are named here. I've been to all of them. I love all of them. Moorhead City, Oriental, Beaufort, Hatteras, Southport, Ocracoke, and New Bern. And there's a pretty picture on the cover of a sunset scene, a sailboat sailing away from the dock, and it says, "Sail away! Take a sunset cruise along Manteo's waterfront aboard the Down East Rover." But we are going to begin, as we always do, the first reading of every month, reading the From Elizabeth column by Elizabeth Hudson, Editor-in-Chief. Working Waters. Captain Tommy Jarman handed me a pair of Sneed's Ferry sneakers, or white rubber boots. Rubber so that I wouldn't slip on the wet deck of the boat. White so that I wouldn't leave scuff marks. And I climbed aboard his 35-foot wooden shrimp trawler named Faith and Hope. Captain Jarman runs Real Livin' Fishing Charters in Sneed's Ferry, a small fishing village on the New River in Onslow County that's been christened the shrimp capital of the East Coast and is home to the North Carolina Shrimp Festival. Only about 2,700 people live here year-round, and judging from the number of trawlers and fishing boats I saw outside Davis Seafood, outside of Mitchell Seafood, outside of Grant's Oyster House, I'd say it's a safe bet that there are far more shrimp here than people. If you live here, you likely have a boat. And I saw plenty of skiffs, sun-battered dinghies, and charters painted with appropriate names, Not Today, that's K-N-O-T, Shells and Tails, Just a Fluke. I've been a passenger on a few North Carolina boats over the years. Captain Dale Britt's Sensation, boat builder Jarrett Bay's first custom boat. Captain Steve Bishop's 45-foot catamaran in Beaufort. Captain Scott Martin's water taxi on the Lockwood Folly River. Pleasure cruises all, but this was the first one where I got to do some work. I was aboard Captain Jarman's boat to learn firsthand what goes into netting a haul of shrimp, what it means to make a living on the water. I grew up in Randolph County, 175 miles inland from any kind of shrimping. The closest body of water was Lake Lucas, home to catfish and crappie. And the closest thing to fresh seafood I knew was the fried flounder platter at Sea King Fish Camp or the broiled trout at Back Creek. During my three-hour tour with Captain Jarman, I watched him work, gauging our location for the best catch, maneuvering the hydraulics that lower the antenna-like outriggers, hooking nets, clipping pulleys and cables, raising nets, and funneling the load of slippery shrimp onto the boat, where I understood, gratefully, why I was wearing those rubber boots. When I say that I did some work, I mean that Captain Jarman let me put on a pair of thick sorting gloves to help filter the shrimp from crabs and other fish, and he took my picture holding our surprise catch, a sheep's head, that made it into our net. Which is to say that I did nothing at all other than stand in awe of the people, like Captain Jarman, who make up our fishing industry the ones who operate the boats and run the charters and ply the waters and support these coastal communities and give our state an economic backbone on which we can all shoulder so much pride. And at the end of the run, as the sun lowered and the water shimmered, Captain Jarman dropped me off at the marina, my cooler full of fresh shrimp, my heart full of admiration for those fishermen and women, and my appreciation as deep as the briny sea. And now, as I always do on the first reading of the month, I would like to read to you from the photo essay entitled this month, Home Ports. They hug the shores of river, sound, and sea. Cities and towns and tiny villages whose roots aren't sunk in fertile ground as much as they are anchored in historic waters. North Carolina's boat towns are beloved by sailors and powerboaters, cruisers and tugboats, and timeless trawlers, plus lucky visitors who arrive on magic carpets of sleek fiberglass. And the best part of all, every one of these classic boat towns is just as hospitable to folks who don't know port from starboard. Welcome aboard! Written by T. Edward Nickens. Double page spread here of one of the ports. At popular Moorhead City, spots like Jack's Waterfront Bar and the iconic Sanitary Fish Market with the red roof, as in picture, patrons angle for a view of the boats in Harbor Channel. What we see here is about a third of the picture is sky, a third of the picture is water, and the rest of it is the waterfront in Moorhead City. Lots of very large cruising powerboats. They almost all look identical along here on the left, up, which would be up on the main street. I forget whether it's called Water Street or not. And then the two restaurants that they talked about. And there's a Carolina Princess ferry boat that's on the lower right of the picture, and a private boat that seems to be passing it on the starboard side. Very pretty picture of coastal North Carolina. Moorhead City, home port for adventure. It is a working waterfront, an angler's haven, a tourist's can't miss, and a seafood lover's mecca. Moorhead City is a port town, a family town, a working town, and a party town with its own barrier island dubbed Sugarloaf. And everywhere you look, there are boats. A row of sport fishing charter boats bejewels a historic waterfront. Boats drift into the harbor, filled with kids and fishing rods and family dogs. Every yard seems to hold a boat on a trailer. From the deck of Jack's Waterfront Bar or the tiki-topped Yellowfin Pub, expansive views take in boats of every imaginable size. And from here, watery ways run in every direction. The Intracoastal Waterway courses west and east. To the north, the Newport River leads to the Adams Creek Canal and onto the broad tidal noose. To the south lies the great Atlantic Deep. Water, water everywhere, saith the ancient mariner. He might have been talking about Moorhead City. Three pictures on this page. One is of a wooden chair with a very colorful cushion on it, and it's up right up on the dock, up against a boat in the background. Or maybe it's actually on one of the boats, and you can see another boat in the background. And the cushion on the chair says, out of office. And here's a picture of some boats that are pulled into the island. Perhaps it's Sugarloaf. And some people have put up little tents there that they're sitting under and sunning themselves. And kids are running around in the water. And you can see the water on both sides of the island at this point. And on the right-hand page, in Moorhead City, boats stand at the ready. Some, like the Bill Collector, built by Beaufort's Jarrett Bay Boatworks for fishing charters, others for afternoon trips across the channel to Sugarloaf Island, and yes, they did identify that picture as Sugarloaf Island, accessible only by watercraft. The Bill Collector has a yellow hull, which is pretty unusual for boats. The ones beyond it have the classic white, but all of them have these very long outriggers. Boy, somebody has quite a business. Every single one of them looks exactly the same. It must have all been from the same manufacturer. And there's somebody carrying a couple of buckets on the dock, perhaps to hold today's catch. Overleaf, one of the towns that I'm most familiar with, Oriental, sailing capital of North Carolina. The trees sway and the marsh grass lies down low, and the chop of the Neuse River clop, clop, clops against the town docks like a horse's hooves on cobblestone. More than any other North Carolina town, Oriental is shaped by sea breezes and river zephyrs, a beloved community of people whose lives seem to heal and tack and run unfettered with the wind. The same harbor that, according to legend, once drew Blackbeard draws sailors still today, and on nearly every afternoon, the blue horizon off of the waterfront is a checkerboard of colorful jibs and mainsails and genoas. Signal flags snap taut and halyards clink on masts. Laughter trills across the small harbor. Everything in Oriental seems tethered to the wind, a wild and constant companion to life on the water. This is an aerial view of the town, rows and rows of almost all sailboats, a few powerboats scattered in there. And then the little inlet there where you go in either to the main street and dock your boat at the town dock, very small town dock, or fill up with gasoline on the right-hand side. Next page, Oriental Harbor Marina, which is what they were talking about. We were talking about when we took the look down from the top, offers slips for 110 vessels, a fraction of the nearly 3,000 boats inhabiting the village, human population 900. Carefree aboard the Shrimp and Grits, the sailboat she owns with her husband Rusty, Cynthia Huffins doesn't mind being outnumbered. She's sitting on the bow, holding on to the wire fencing that runs around so you don't fall off. She's got her legs over the side, and she's got her summer hat on, protecting her a little bit from the sun. And the sail is up. Beaufort, nautical jewel of the Crystal Coast. It's a North Carolina Champs-Élysées, a grand promenade gone all salty and nautical, equal parts down-home coastal plain and famed polyglot stopover on the intercoastal waterway. If it floats, it finds its way to Beaufort, sooner or later. Sailboats of every size from ports near and far. Multi-million dollar power yachts, 10-foot dinghies, kayaks and skiffs. Taylor's Creek parallels the entire Beaufort waterfront, and the calm water byway, can be filled nearly shore to shore with craft. Hop on a boat or prop your flip-flopped feet on the boardwalk rail. Drink a beer and drink it all in. There are wild horses feeding in the Carrot Marsh, a Carrot Island marsh, and a Jimmy Buffett song spilling out of the Dockhouse restaurant. Life is good, but Beaufort fans know that here, it's just a bit better. The double page spread is the main town dock or pier. It runs along the length of the main street quite a ways. And you would go to one side through a little park to get to the main street and all of the shops, or you can step onto a dock that runs along the other side and gives you access to the boats. This Carteret County community is so proud of its maritime culture that overlooking the boats in Taylor's Creek, a yardarm flies national, state, and town flags, plus 8 nautical signals that spell out Beaufort. Overleaf, the wooden boat show. They've never been forgotten, the dories and two-masted sharpies and working skiffs that plumbed these core sound waters. Nor have the wooden trawlers and catches and even the dugout canoes that once coursed across the Carolina waters. For more than 45 years, they've come home to the Beaufort waterfront for the annual wooden boat show at the Harvey W. Smith Watercraft Center. Scores of boats line the town docks. Thousands of boat lovers throng the waterfront. There are boat models and a traditional sailboat race. You can learn to tie a monkey fist knot or join along in a sea chanty from days long past. It's part romance and part history and part a promise to the future, keeping traditions alive so that the old ways will always prompt wonder on the Crystal Coast. Picture here of the Harvey W. Smith Watercraft Center, North Carolina Maritime Museum. Doors always open. You walk by, you can see them working in there. On this particular day, you're allowed inside. There's a couple of sailboats on the water. And then there's somebody inside working the wood on one of those wooden boats. He's polishing a section of the wood with an electric tool while somebody else watches on, perhaps the future owner. Here's one we've all heard about, if you haven't visited yourself, or maybe it may have been many, many years ago, but Hatteras, soul of the Outer Banks. It's always been a little out there, out of the far edge of North Carolina, out where the hard top ends, out where the sea holds all the cards. Hatteras Village, as the locals call it, is the seventh and southernmost of the Barrier Island hamlets of Hatteras Island. You can drive here down the long, sandy spine of the northern Outer Banks, or you can arrive by boat, via pleasure craft or a lumbering ferry. But once you find your way to Hatteras, you will never truly leave. Every salt breeze will take you back to those festive moments when the fishing fleet returns home with a catch. Every patch of dappled sun will remind you of the light dancing on boat hulls and oyster-armored docks. Hatteras is a little out there, yes, which makes it so worth the journey. And you can imagine what the first picture is. Of course, it's the lighthouse. When the sun sets over the Cape Hatteras Lighthouse and the commercial fishing docks in Hatteras Village, it draws to a close another busy day of fishing around the island where locals have long made a living on the water. Hatteras Lighthouse, of course, was moved many years ago. Since I've lived in North Carolina, that was quite an operation. It took days to slowly, slowly move that historic structure inch by inch up the beach because the beach was about to bring it down. Now it's in a much safer place. This is the lighthouse that has the black and white stripes that go around like a barbershop pole, but they're black and white. It's coming down in 45 degrees, and they're quite broad. Flipping the page now, the catch of the day, gulls wheel in the breeze, and wide-eyed children stand on their tiptoes for a better view. Late in the afternoon, the Hatteras docks are abuzz with energy. Charter fishing boats are snug in their slips as the catch is offloaded. Dock carts ferry mahi-mahi, wahoo, and tuna to the fish cleaning station. Knives flash, smiles widen, and as it has forever, the sea provides. The photo caption is, "When Captain Ernell Foster founded the Albatross Fleet on Hatteras in 1937, he became the first in the state to offer charter fishing. The three original Albatross boats still bring in the daily catch, which staff members clean for waiting customers." So here they are, the Albatross and the Albatross 2 and the Albatross 3. They're pretty identical. The original Albatross is a little smaller than the other two, but they're all docked stern in here, and there's some customers lined up while the fishermen, I believe they're both men, work on cleaning the fish for them. And the gulls are flying overhead. They want their share of what the humans aren't going to eat. How about Southport, a boater's happy place? It's a meeting place where the river meets the sea, where fresh water meets salt, where past and present come together in a village that has always looked to the future. On the western shore of the mouth of the Cape Fear River, Southport has long been the welcoming front door to North Carolina. It's a fort town and a port town, a kick back and peel shrimp on the docks town, and a knock through the shops town. From here you can boat to Bald Head Island or the Wilmington waterfront. Calm coves await on the Cape Fear, or you can set sail for the open blue in waters that have hosted colonial explorers and blockade runners and captains across the centuries. Southport is the home place of literary giants and ancient oak, live oaks and island-studded waters. There might not be a happier coastal village in all of the Carolina shore. Number of pictures here. It says small town charms everywhere in Southport. Stroll under the spreading branches of live oaks. Ease your boat up to the dock for lunch at Fishy Fishy Cafe. Take home a souvenir buoy from Potter's Seafood, or simply enjoy the breeze from a waterfront swing. So on the left-hand side, full-page picture, we're looking across brown marsh grass. Then we're looking at one of these little inlets. This dock coming out at the left, and across are several homes. And right at the waterfront, there's a much smaller house or a shop and a fishing boat backed in against the dock right beside that one. And beautiful Carolina blue sky. Here's that tree that they talked about, the live oak, branching upwards and splitting its trunk in several different directions. Here's somebody sitting on a swing that is hung from a man-made stand, if you will, made out of wood. And it looks like Dad's pointing out to his child, I think it's a boy, can't really tell from the back, something out on the water. And there's those colorful buoys. They come in different shapes. The first one looks like an egg, and it's red on top, a white band in the middle, and bright blue on the bottom. And then they put a cork cylinder beneath, because what it's doing is it's holding a mesh net around the buoy, and then they tie the knot on the other side of that cylinder at the bottom, and they do something similar at the top. So it gives you a way to hang these up. Not all of them have the mesh, but almost all of them do. Some of them are more traditional buoy shape, which looks kind of like a torpedo, I guess. It's flat at the bottom, and then it's a cylinder, which is rounded at the front. And some of them are just round balls, but almost every single one of them is red, white, and blue. And then here's somebody pulled into perhaps the town dock in their boat. They're just arriving. Other people are walking a dog along the pier. And how about Ocracoke? Barrier Island beauty. Ocracoke is the closest thing you'll find to North Carolina coastal Brigadoon, that mythical place of enchantment and adventure. Except Ocracoke is no myth at all. The village is as real as the drop in your heart rate that registers the moment you make landfall. On the island's sequestered Silver Lake Harbor, quiet waters are ringed with wharves and shops and restaurants and inns. Old fishing boats crowd the side yards of historic homes. Visitors literally can't get here without a boat, your own, a charter vessel, or via ferry from Hatteras Island or the mainland. You've got a choice there. Which means you can't leave without hopping aboard one craft or the other either. If anything, that helps take the sting out of any departure from this magical Barrier Island hamlet. Whether you're enjoying ice cream in the dock, strolling past island homes with nautical emblems in the yard, or watching the boats in Silver Lake Harbor, local maritime history is never far from mine in the village of Ocracoke. His first picture shows the Sea Dragon at its mooring out in the harbor. I believe this is what's called Silver Lake. And it has a rubber craft with a motor backed up against it, and that's how people get from inside to the shore. And there's another sailboat at mooring also. And the Ocracoke Lighthouse, which is pure white with three windows visible on this from the side, slightly conical in shape on the left-hand side on the shore. And here's three kids sitting in a upside-down dinghy at the end of the dock, and they are all enjoying their ice cream cones. And somebody, remember what it said about nautical things in the yard? Somebody's taken an old dinghy and filled it with dirt and added some flowers and made it look really pretty. And finally, New Bern, Crossroads on the Water. All that water. From the northwest, the Neuse River flows by a broad sweep of fresh water that nudges against the brackish water of a vast estuary. From the southwest came the wild waters of the Trent River, carrying the scent of sweet bay and sassafras from the untrammeled woodlands of Croydon National Forest. And caught in the happy middle at the confluence of history is the colonial capital and modern city of New Bern. Its harbor gleams and glistens with acres of fiberglass and sails, boats moored and boats underway and boats at dock in seemingly every direction. For vessels of every size, New Bern has long been a firm anchor for North Carolina's coastal heritage and culture. Caption, boaters traveling on the Trent River cruise through history. Tryon Palace, a 1959 replica of the State House and the Governor's Mansion, originally completed in 1770, stands as a reminder of the days when New Bern served as a colonial capital. And this is an aerial view. We see that famous Tryon Palace here. We're viewing it from the shore side. And the river is in the back, the Trent River. Actually, it's one continuous bridge, but it goes over an island in the middle. So it looks like two different bridges. A lot of boats in the marina there. Tryon Palace is three stories high. It's all brick. All of the windows in front are even. I said it's three stories high. It's really two, but it has a very high basement level. Keep the water out of the rest of the house, I guess. And in the front yard, it's completely enclosed by a fence. There's a very nice circular path entered through by a gate. And it has a nice grassy patch in the center. And looks beautiful. Well, we've run out of time for today's episode of Our State Magazine. I certainly hope you enjoyed it and that you'll be sure to listen next time. I'm Fred Brack, reading for the North Carolina Reading Service. Today's reading of Our State Magazine was underwritten by the Carter Glass Insurance Agency, serving our community since 1974. The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. Our State Magazine is available as a podcast at our website, ncreadingservice.org, and on iTunes. If you have any questions or comments, please call the studios 919-832-5138. And thank you for listening to the North Carolina Reading Service.